Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 277, recorded December 14th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello.
It's snowing.
It's very much snowing.
We got
snowing.
About a foot of snow.
At least a foot of snow.
It actually took me 3 hours and 20 minutes to get to work. That's a new record.
Where usually it takes about 50 minutes. So, doesn't it? The bus ride is about 50 minutes?
Yeah, about that.
And this time the bus ride was...
3 hours and 20 minutes. Yeah. Well, I had to get off the bus and onto the train.
Because the bus was not moving anymore.
But yeah, it was crazy. Anyway.
It's very wintry.
It's unusual for us to get a foot of snow in less than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. It's still snowing. It's supposed to snow all night.
Yeah.
Anywho, would you like to know who we have today?
Yes.
We have Mick in Carnforth, who I imagine will give us an update on his own natural disaster. I guess we're not having a natural disaster. We're just having a storm.
But he did.
He had a more extreme situation. And Matt in Perth, Western Australia, and Rich in New Jersey, who is new, yes?
Yes, he is.
Yes, okay. And Tom in Provo, Utah. So, shall we start with Mick?
Let's dive in.
Okay. He says, "Hi, guys. Yes, all back home and all fish and other assorted animals doing okay." Oh, that's good.
That is a great thing.
Yeah. Because we have occasional power outages for a few hours, and the shops and cafes are running out of food until deliveries can get through. That's why food storage is a good idea, right? Yeah. It looks as though by tomorrow things are hopefully starting to get back to normal, or as normal as can be. I should be back at the shop tomorrow, and I'm going to set up some space so we can do some free animal boarding for anyone who has been flooded out and has no power while the houses are getting pumped out, etc. Oh, that's
a good idea.
Yeah. A friend of mine found a random goldfish in the gutter of the builder's supply yard where he works. Oh, poor goldfish. This is not quite as bad as the bull sharks in the Australian golf course.
I hadn't heard of that one.
I hadn't heard of that either. That sounds a little scary. I've attached a few pictures, but you can go to the following Facebook page to see more. Best fishes, Mick, actually back in Carnforth. So.
Can I put the pictures here? Some of the pictures here.
Holy cow.
That really is really floated down.
Yeah, we'll put them up. You guys can see them. That's really flooded. Wow. Holy cow.
When I was a kid, there was a town here in our state that wasn't too far away from where we lived. And the year we moved here, there were some pretty bad floods. And this town, it was called Thistle. And the town got pretty much completely destroyed.
Oh, no wonder I've never heard
of
it.
For the flood.
I've never heard of Thistle, Utah.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore, I guess. And we drove through it after, you know, the flood had subsided some.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know, our parents wanted us to see what a flood kind of devastation it could do or something. Anyway, we drove through there and we saw houses that had just been totally destroyed and carried into the river and, like, mattresses in weird places on tops of hills and all kinds of things. It was crazy. So those pictures remind me something of that.
That was pretty crazy. Well, we're glad, Mick, that you're safe and all of your critters and your family are safe.
Yes, we are.
And I think the free boarding is an excellent idea. That's very kind of you. Should we go to Australia?
Let's
go hear from Matt. It says, "Hello, Rook, Kelly, and Russ. I have once again had the urge to send in another email. I am doing this a lot recently, it seems. That's okay.
We like it.
Yes, we're always happy to hear from you. I kept Oscars once in a previous 680-liter or 180-gallon aquarium. They used to splash me every time I fed them, as they were so enthusiastic in their chomping down on the cichlid pellets. Oscars is the most entertaining cichlids I have ever kept. If you have the room, they are great fun. They lived with a lot of other American cichlids. All of the cichlids reached about 200 millimeters, or 8 inches, each, and there were around 16 fish. I had Texas cichlids, Oscars, green severums, and Geophagus brasiliensis. I had 4 of each species. I realize now the aquarium was too full, but the fish got along fine. The Geophagus bred, and it was amazing watching the vertical column of fry surrounding them." They go up and down like that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, cool. Colin went from the bottom of the tank to the surface. I would still like to do another big cichlid aquarium one day. Cichlids are cool.
They are. We haven't had... Mm-hmm. We've had various cichlids, but we haven't had a really big cichlid tank. The largest we've ever had was 55, so... Mm-hmm. I would like to do that someday, too.
Tilapia are also illegal in Australia, along with piranhas and female paradise fish. So you can have male paradise fish?
I guess so.
Interesting. I think with all three, the fear is that they will be released into the rivers and take over. We already have a carp infestation along with a local pest pufferfish we call blowies. Yes, that's. I would imagine that's probably a thing to be afraid of.
Right, well, especially in Australian waterways.
Yeah.
The climate in many cases is a lot more mild than it is here in terms of, the winters can
so
be...
So lots of things can get established and take over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And Australia's cool. We want to keep it Australia and not have it get overrun with...
Exactly.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, Russ, the plants are purling, but I was not referring to that in my statement. I like watching the bubble coming out of the plants. I don't know if that causes any real problems to the aquarium. None that I can see right now. But purling doesn't cause issues, right?
Purling it's is just oxygen, generally a... Right? Well, I guess if it were really extreme, you might have issues. But if it's just, moderate purling, that's a good sign that your plants are all happy.
Yeah.
And you're getting lots of oxygen in the tank, and that's good.
And it's pretty and it's sparkly.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's kind of like, you have a little fairy in your tank and she's spreading sparkles.
Something like that, yeah. See, originally I thought he was being kind of funny when he said, it's a champagne problem, like saying, it's bubbling so much and it's not really an issue. I'm perfectly happy to have that problem,
the bubbling.
But of course, he explained to us that his champagne
meant.
Problem
yes.
didn't mean that, but that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he goes on. I am a big podcast listener. I do not listen to music or the radio, just podcasts and audiobooks. Something that is talked about on a lot of the podcasts is the confused look the hosts get when they explain podcasts to lay people. Do you get a lot of confused looks when you explain what a podcast is to friends? I have yet to tell a new friend about podcasts without them having no idea what a podcast is. Maybe it is because I love technology, but I have known about podcasts for years. There are vodcasts, which are video podcasts, too. American Reefs is the only vodcast about aquariums I know of. That is a good one. I wish there was a vodcast about freshwater aquariums. Maybe I should start one. There are plenty of YouTube videos, but a regular vodcast is different. It's like a TV show. You get used to them arriving in your podcast player once a week and build a sense of trust between you and the podcaster.
That would be cool if you would start one.
Yeah, that would be fun.
See, we could have you on to interview you and get you started out.
Yeah.
Because you have lots of people who listen to you on our show, so we could get them to listen to and watch your vodcast.
That would be cool.
Do we ever have people that we try to explain... when we try to explain a podcast, they get confused?
I think most people have known what a podcast is.
Really?
I don't know. I don't specifically remember anybody going, what? But, me and my memory.
I'm trying to remember. Good question. Yeah.
I don't specifically remember anybody being confused. I think most people, when it's come up, I think most people know what a podcast is. Yeah.
I guess we've been connected to podcasts for a long time ourselves, but because when did we start doing this?
I don't think I knew what a podcast was before you said, hey, I want to start a podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when we started this in 2008, but I was listening to podcasts well before that.
Well, maybe that's when I figured out, you told me what it was, because Pet Fish Talk.
Yeah, I started listening to Pet Fish Talk
regularly
in Hawaii.
But I didn't know
when
was before you told me what it was.
2005 was it, maybe? 2004?
Probably,
I don't know.
Something around there. Something but like I can be kind of, I think I've said this before, kind of a technological curmudgeon. I often don't like new technology just because it's new and I feel like I've already got something that works, and if it works, then, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Russ likes new gadgets and new ways of doing things and gets really excited about them, which is good because then it makes me learn how to do new things so that I'm not completely left behind in the dust. I'm getting better.
Yes.
But, he's my, how would you say it? I learn about new stuff because of you. At least technological stuff. I like learning stuff. I'm not big on tech. Until I figure out what I can do with it.
Yeah.
I like music editing software because I can edit music. And I like video editing software because it's fun to make movies.
So you really like it. You just don't like it until you like it.
Well, I like what I find to be useful.
Yeah.
And then when they change my software and I already know how to use it, I get ticked because then I have to figure out how to redo it all over again.
Yes.
And it's dumb because it's like, I already know how to drive a car, so don't take away my steering wheel.
I think most of us would probably agree with you there.
So, anyways, that's kind of tangent. But that's what I'm for.
Tangents?
For tangents. Okay. He says, Mick in Carnforth, UK, could buy an uninterruptible power supply for his currently powerless aquariums that will provide some vital energy until the power comes back online.
Yeah, those are rather nice.
Is that like the little weed generator?
Well, we have one for our computer.
Oh, but it doesn't.
You know the thing, whenever the power goes off and it goes beep, 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 and it keeps the power.
Well, it keeps it on for like a few extra minutes so we can shut it down.
It gives you time
properly
to shut it down, but.
But it doesn't keep it on.
You can get ones that will last longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does it just have a battery or something?
It's basically battery backup. But it's,
so the power goes out and it switches over to the backup battery.
It switches automatically to the backup
battery,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good idea to have those.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm not sure how many Mick would need, but...
probably a lot.
For the shop, anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe for his fish room, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be nice to have.
Says, I have a suggestion for the website. A listener aquarium section. That way you could organize all the information we keep telling you about them into an easy-to-access location. Maybe even make it possible for us to go in and update our setups. I often forget who has what setup and what fish they are putting them in. That is all for now. Matt from Perth, Western Australia.
That's a cool idea. Yeah.
It'd be, I don't know, a little bit more interactive on the website. People could go in and...
Yeah, and post their setups.
Yeah.
They'd have, like, either each... Be kind of like... A mini Facebook sort of thing, almost. Where
a fish book.
Fish book.
I like yay!
That. Where you go in and you post all your setup, and then you update your setup, and you know people can. Mm-hmm. You have a little like a blurb about it. You write something about it, and then you put some pictures up. It's a good idea.
You could post questions.
I've been thinking about how to do it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure I know how yet, but I think I.
We could talk to John.
Yeah.
Our cyberspace guru.
Yeah.
Ask him.
I think there might be a way to do it.
I think that's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. It would be cool.
Okay. And Matt, feel free to write in anytime.
Yep.
No need to
hedge. Well, he was just saying, I seem to be doing that a lot lately, but that's a good thing.
That's totally fine.
We love it when everybody contributes, so.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. Well, look, somebody sent us another Tigger style.
Yeah, because they like it when you do that, so you should do it.
Hello, Russ and Kelly.
But who is it from?
This is Rich. Rich in New Jersey, who's new.
Yeah. Welcome, Rich.
Yes. He says, I just got into the fish tank hobby about 2 months ago. I found your podcast and I love it. We have a 45-gallon tank that just finished cycling about 2 weeks ago, and I recently added 6 Cory catfish and just yesterday added 2 Nerite snails. I have live plants, Java ferns, Anubias, Nanas. Does he mean Nanos? Nanas? What's a Nana?
He's pluralizing it, saying there are 2 of them. There are more than one of that species. Anubias nana.
Oh, okay.
There are 2 of them.
And Amazon swords. Some fake decor and black sand mixed with black gravel. I was recently looking online about the many questions I have in this hobby and started to fall in love with tanks that have real driftwood. My question to you two is, Would I be able to take out the decor I have and replace it with driftwood, or should I wait until the tank has been established for a few months? This question probably makes me sound like a noob, but I keep finding mixed reviews online. There's nothing wrong with being new. I still really don't know much of anything. I'm just here as the plucky comic relief. Russ, Russ knows the answers to stuff.
Actually, Kelly knows far more than she gives herself credit for. But let's talk about a few things. One, glad you love the podcast. Two, we can tell that you're starting off on the right foot because you cycled your tank before you added fish.
Yay! You get points.
So already, you're way ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And then you added fairly moderate bioload for that size of tank, which is also good. And you've got some live plants going, all which are fairly simple. Amazon swords, one of the first plants I had. I had those before I had Java ferns or Anubias, actually. So that's good. So driftwood. Let's think about some things about driftwood. Some things that you need to be aware of about driftwood is that a lot of the driftwood you can buy, and I'm assuming you're considering buying it, it sounds like it, which I do recommend rather than collecting it because you can have all sorts of difficulties that way. You can do that. But let's imagine you're going to buy some driftwood that is approved for aquarium use. Well and good, but I recommend leaching it out first. Soaking it in a large container, such as a bucket.
Like a 5-gallon
bucket.
Yeah,
a clean, soap-free, detergent-free bucket.
If you need to wash the bucket, you can wash the bucket with baking soda, right?
Right. You can make a baking soda paste and scrape it out to make sure there aren't any residues that you don't want in there. Once you've done that, you can soak the wood in plain tap water or dechlorinated tap water if you like. For a while, I would leave it in there until the water's discolored, maybe 2 or 3 days. Dump it out, start over again. Keep doing that until the discoloration has dissipated quite a bit and it's not really coloring the water much. It might color the water a tiny bit, but not too much. The reason why I suggest that is because the discoloration is a result of tannins leaching from the wood. The tannins themselves, well, not necessarily harmful to fish in and of themselves, and in fact beneficial to some fish, do alter the pH of the water. The acids in there will alter the pH of the water, and that is not a good thing to do quickly. Something you should do slowly, and by putting driftwood that has not been soaked repeatedly to leach out some of those tannins into a tank, what you're going to do is fairly quickly lower the pH and then gradually increase the pH as the tank leaches out over time. As the water, the tannins leach out in the water, you do water change, and eventually. So what it's going to do is create instability in the tank. It's going to be a sharp decrease in pH and then slow increase, which is not good. So that could be a difficulty, but if you do the leaching, that will minimize such issues. So I would say, with the light bioload you have, if you want to just go ahead and do that first and then take out the fake decor and put in the driftwood, I don't see many problems with it.
There you go.
I would say it would be a good thing.
I like driftwood in tanks. I think it looks really nice.
It can
look
quite attractive. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I like to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And so I can't think of anything else. Can you think of anything else? Sometimes you can get a little sort of a fungusy looking growth on the driftwood. That's usually not a big deal. It'll usually dissipate with time, especially if you've got things that nibble on it.
Which it sounds like he does. He's got nerite snails.
Yeah, they might nibble on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the quarries would nibble on it, but that's what I would say. That's assuming you get something like Malaysian driftwood, Mopani wood, something like that. There are other types of wood, too. Some of them are less likely to be leached. Some of them you might even be able to find that have been pre-soaked, and most of the tenants have already leached out, which would be nice, too.
Yeah.
And there are, of course, other types of wood, manzanita and things you can find. And then there are some you should never put in your tank. Just
like what?
I was mentioning before, if you collect wood just outside and you find a piece of driftwood on the side of a river or something, one thing, you don't know what sort of pests you might introduce into your tank by putting it in, but you also don't know what sort of toxins. If it were, for example, if from a pine tree, you might be introducing resins into your tank you don't want to, and that kind of thing. So just a couple of examples.
Okay. So hopefully that helps, Rich, and welcome to Aquarmax.
Indeed. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have Tom in Provo next. He says, Russ and Kelly, I'm interested in trying something a little different in my tank. Currently, I have Harlequin Rasboras, Neon Tetras, Ember Tetras, 3 bristlenose Placos, and 3 female Swordtails. The latter 3 will be rehomed if I can get them in a net without destroying my plants. By no means a sure thing. I've tried building a fish trap, but it only seems to trap the smaller fish. Chasing them behind the water fern is a losing battle as well. My main tank is 37 gallons, and I would like to introduce a school of chili rasboras. Do you or any other Aquarimaxers have experience with these? The only hostility any of the current residents display is when the largest of the Placos occasionally takes a run at one of the smaller Placos, as if to say, keep your bicycle off my lawn! Darn kids! Pretty sure the chili rasboras, at a mere half an inch each, are not likely to snack on the Placos, but one can never be sure about such things. I also have an empty 15-gallon tank. Would that be better for a few chilies and some nerites? P.S. Lest anyone wonder, I was only being facetious when I labeled my clue for last week's quiz a really good one. And P.S.S. I hope you had nothing to do with setting that fire at the Living Planet Aquarium. What fire?
Oh, you know what? I had to look that up because I hadn't heard about it. But what apparently happened? They had a fire just like, was it yesterday?
Really?
Yeah. None of the inhabitants were hurt. Nobody was hurt.
What? Burned
something on the roof.
Oh my goodness,
I'm not sure why that happened.
That's scary.
Apparently Santa Claus was there and helped out.
Yeah, like Pyro Santa.
No, I mean like Santa Claus was there at the time, and he,
like, they had a Santa Claus in the aquarium.
Yes, who was also a firefighter who helped out.
Oh wow. Go Santa.
Yeah,
I hope. That's kind of scary. I'm glad nothing got hurt.
All right. But I rest assured we were far away from the aquarium at the time.
Indeed.
Well, let's...
Although, yeah.
What? Although what?
Nothing. I won't say anything that could be interpreted as incriminating. No, you can't tickle me on the air. I just was about to say, we do have a child who thinks that she wants to blow stuff up when she grows up.
Okay.
She came home and said she wants to be an explosives expert when she grows up.
She did say that, didn't she?
She did.
And then she asked me the other day, "Hey, where can I get some sodium?"
I said, you can't.
Mean pure sodium? You know.
Yeah, maybe that's what I mean. But no, that wasn't us.
Okay. So let's talk about first. Chili, I have an idea. I have an idea for the swordtails.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just possible idea.
Okay, about catching them.
Yes, I have an idea. Okay. It would take some time to do this, and I don't know if it's worth it to you, but you could do this. What you do is you habituate them to the net by feeding them while the net is in the tank, and you do it. You hold the net in the tank far away from them, and then just gradually. As you feed them over time, habituate to them to the presence of the net in the tank while they're being fed, and then inch it closer to the feeding spot until they actually have to eat right over the net.
Oh,
in my experience is that swordtails are kind of greedy, and likely swordtails will be among the first fish to come to the food place. And mm-hmm. once they're completely habituated to that and they're over the net, you'd want to use a fairly large net, of course, to feeding over the net, you could net them all out. And, of course, it's very possible you'd have some collateral netting going on and you'd net some other fish and didn't want out. That's okay. You net all the swordtails and whatever fish happen to go with them, and you have a waiting container nearby with some tank water in it, mm-hmm. and you put them all in there, and then you just
nick out the
other fish that you want to put back in the tank.
It's a lot easier when they're in, like, just a little container with no... decorations or anything.
Right, exactly. So then you could just get the fish out with maybe a smaller net that you wanted to put back in the tank. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
It's a good idea.
That's my suggestion. I've done something like that before.
With which fish?
I don't know that it was swordtails, but I've done something like that before.
That's a good idea.
So that
you're so sneaky.
You have to be sneaky with swordtails sometimes. Apparently these swordtails. Okay. So worth a try if you're willing to do it. It might take even a couple of weeks to get them completely habituated, possibly, but
it'll work. That's a good idea.
I mean, I bet it'll work. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've tricked fish that way before. So I just can't remember exactly how.
Which fish? So you can't remember which fish.
It's just I remember the process. Doing something like that. Okay. So
Chili Rasboris. I've never heard of them. I will freely admit that. Yeah. What are they?
They're tiny.
Yeah?
Yeah, really minuscule. And
are they red or something?
I think so, yeah.
Do they just
give you
indigestion?
No, I wouldn't. No, I don't eat them. But the there's a couple of things. With 37 gallons, there's one right there. That's a 37-gallon tank.
Mm-hmm.
And chili reservoirs are minuscule, you know. They're half an inch long. I have not kept chili reservoirs. Kept another species of reservoir or two, maybe, but not any of the micro reservoirs. I do like them. I've seen pictures. I think all of the micro reservoirs are quite fun. I would like to try them sometime. I would say you're probably okay with no aggression from the chili reservoirs towards other fish. I'm not entirely sure about the other way around, but you'd probably be safe because none of those other fish, once you get rid of the swordtails anyway, are not particularly offensive. I think pretty nice fish. Not that swordtails are bad either, but, you know, perhaps a little bit more so than some of the others, but I would go with the 15-gallon tank myself. I think the reservoirs, unless you
just have them their own selves in the smaller tank, right, rather than put them in the big tank with the rest of the fish.
That's probably what I do.
Okay.
I mean, I love the idea of a fairly large tank, like a 37. I mean, it's a medium tank, but for reservoirs that are half an inch long, it's a pretty big tank just by themselves. But you'd need a lot of them for it to really work, I think.
Mm.
So, you know, to show them
to get
advantage.
What else did he say he had?
He has, some ember tetras, neon tetras, harlequin reservoirs, the plecos, and now swordtails, but he's
getting
to
rid of
those.
Swordtails.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think that with those other fish, the chili reservoirs just wouldn't really show up?
Well, it's partly the scale of the tank.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a really big school of them there, I think that would be quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had, 7 or 9 or even 13, 15 of them, I think they'd be so small
swallowed.
That you'd have to be really close to the tank to appreciate them. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
But if you had 30 or, you know, something in there, that'd be fun.
Okay.
But in a 15-gallon tank, you could have a smaller school, and they still would. You'd feel like more of the presence of the fish there. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
You could appreciate them more, I'm guessing.
That makes sense.
I don't know. Anyone who's kept chili reservoirs or other micro reservoirs, if you want to chime in on that and see what you think, I can't really comment as I would like to be able to do because I have not kept chili reservoirs. So that's just sort of my impression of how it would work. And having put really small fish in large tanks and so on, I like the effect of a lot of one species of really small fish in a large tank. But if they're too small, I don't see them as much as I would like to. It's just the effect is not as pleasing. So. Just, it's a generalization that may apply in this case, but anyone with chili reservoir experience to the contrary is welcome to chime in. Or chili reservoir experience of any sort that might, you know, shed some light on the situation.
So do we have anything else tonight? Anything new on our
side? Trying to think so. I finally did post the Malawi video, a short portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
I put that up on the Aquarimax YouTube page and on the Facebook page. Gotten some comments on that, so hopefully people are enjoying that. But other than that, I think that's all for the week. So
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.